This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're discussing those new Marvel chicklet novels and how that all relates to the Star Wars Expanded Universe. Believe it or not, it does, kind of. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. First off, we got a guest on the show today. Tracy Duncan from Club Jade is here.
Hello.
Hey, sorry.
We're all talking over each other. This is already off to a flying start. But yes, we've got Dunk here and prepare for ranting.
Yes.
Sadly.
Before we get too far into the show, we've got a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. If you follow the blog or follow us on Twitter, you may have seen that we have left the Solo Sound Network, and we are now a part of Majestic Giraffe Productions. Majestic Giraffe is now our podcast host, but we would like to thank Austin and the Solo Sound team for hosting us for the last year and giving us the framework to succeed somehow and get to 45 episodes, including this one. How we've done that is beyond us, but Solo Sound certainly had something to do with it. What does this all mean? There's a post we're going to link to in the show notes, and you may have already read this on the blog, but in a nutshell, nothing much is going to change for the five of you who have been listening regularly.
Hey, we have more listeners than that.
maybe. We'll see. What this move does allow us to do is it allows us to get you the podcast quicker, and it's going to allow us to talk about subject matters and topics that we would have had a hard time addressing before. This means occasionally we're going to perhaps hit a subject matter that might not be appropriate for younger listeners, but we will warn you well in advance if that happens. But with this move, I do know we've probably picked up some new readers, so I guess we could do some brief intros. We'll start with my co-host, Nancy.
Oh, I have to introduce myself.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I'm Nancy. I like Star Wars a lot, and I also write stuff. And I have a dog who's now trying to crawl on top of me.
And
she's named Mara after my favorite Star Wars character.
Yes, Mara the dog is the mascot of this show.
She is. She's lovely sometimes.
Sometimes, yes, when she's not mauling you. And I'm Brian. I'm the sucker who thought starting a podcast would be a great idea. I rope Nancy in, and I mix this thing and get it all set to go. So there we are. That's us, Nancy and Brian.
It seems so exciting.
After 45 episodes, your enthusiasm for introductions wanes heavily. But yes, we talk about Star Wars a lot. It's kind of our thing. We also dive into a regular grab bag of geek culture and entertainment. This podcast is the conversational end of a larger blog, Toshi-Station.net, where we cover more Star Wars and a grab bag of geek culture and entertainment.
Indeed.
But yes, that's us.
Yay!
And with that, we'll move to what's new on the blog, and as is customary, Nancy, tell us what's new on the blog.
Oh, well, as we always talk about, Bria's still going on the Waru Express.
The girl's crazy.
She really is.
She is so much braver than the rest of us.
She covered 5 novels this past week. That's more than I could read in like 3 months, probably. That would be the Wraith Squadron Trilogy and also the Han and Leia love boat consisting of courtship of Princess Leia and Tatooine Ghost, and you can guess which one produced more feels for Bria. If you guessed Race Squadron, you'd be correct.
And I love what has become the default description of courtship of Princess Leia, and this one's entirely attributed to Dunk.
Yes.
I'm so proud.
Yes, the A Courtship of Princess Leia, the Bollywood musical of the expanded universe.
Imagine the dance production that the Havens could come up with, man. That would be excellent.
I sense a spinoff film.
That shittery.
Oh, dear.
So, yes, and also, Brian, you reviewed Star Wars number 2 by Brian Wood, which came out yesterday. Is the obviously the second issue in the new title from Dark Horse, and you didn't have feelings about it, really.
Meh. They're just boring.
If you're the only one who thinks that.
I don't know what to say, because compared to the other comics I've been reading, and I like comics, these new Brian Wood Star Wars comics are boring. They're dull. Nothing happens except for a way too much exposition and way too much info dumping, and that's not even looking at the questionable characterization and pacing. It's just, it's so decidedly mediocre.
Sounds fun.
I'm gonna go through this arc, and this comic isn't getting onto my pull list anytime soon.
That's too bad. I was hoping it would be good, but
it sounded like an interesting setup, a great place for new readers to come in that longtime expanded universe fans could enjoy. But it really hasn't hit on all of those marks. I mean, if you're looking for something all Star Wars fans, longtime readers or not, can enjoy, go pick up Scoundrels instead.
I was just going to say, Scoundrels.
So that's what's new on the blog, and with that, we move into a segment we like to call Fixer's Flash, where we talk about the geeky things we've been up to.
Oh, yay.
And like we always do, Nancy, we start with you.
Yeah, I finished Old Man's War by John Scalzi, and I loved it and highly recommend it. I would be reading the rest of that series, except for this thing called money that I don't have right now. So instead, I am reading a book that I already had on Basilisk Station, which is book one of the Honor Harrington series, and hopefully it's good, because it's space opera with a female protagonist, and usually I like those.
Now, Timothy Zahn recently came on board to the Honor Harrington series, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I have no idea when I'd get to those, though, because apparently there's like a bajillion Honor Harrington books. Yay!
Hooray!
Writing still. I wrote some short stories and a flash fiction, and still writing more and outlining my next book, which is a fun part. Actually sitting down to write it is when I want to bang my head against the wall. And not geeky, but I watched a bunch of HGTV and television shows about puppies.
Television shows about puppies.
There was Chinook puppies learning how to pull a sled. It was pretty adorable.
So did you go into diabetic shock after that?
Yeah. I was like, oh, who needs to eat chocolate after watching this? And they're like, what is this thing attached to our back? How do we move? They're both trying to run in the in opposite directions.
Aw. Well, as for me, like Nancy mentioned, I did read the Brian Wood Star Wars issue 2. Very meh on the whole thing. There's a review up on the blog you can check out. We'll have a link in the show notes. And I also read through Avengers Assemble number 12 by Kelly Sue DeConnick. Of the comics I've read this week, just go read the stuff by Kelly Sue DeConnick. It's so much more entertaining.
If you don't know that by now, listeners, you haven't been paying attention.
Captain Marvel, go read it.
Yes.
And that was a very, very, very brief run through Fixer's Flash this week. Guess we weren't up to a whole lot. So let's just go ahead, move on into Deke's Dirt, and cover some news from around fandom. And I'm sure Dunk's going to have some input on some of these bullet points.
No, really?
Yeah, well, we'll start off with Hasbro's Mara Jade action figure. It has been... I know. It's been shifted into the Black Series, which means A, it's going to be even harder to find than it already was. B, we still don't know when it's coming out. And C, she's still wearing the stupid cat suit.
It makes me wonder why we even bothered voting for this figure, because it was a fan's choice figure. And I know I voted for it because it was listed as Mara Jade Skywalker, which I assumed would be, you know, Mara as a Jedi, which meant maybe she'd be wearing a different outfit. But apparently, no.
Well, see, if she didn't wear the cat suit, no one would know who she was.
That's right, because...
Because fanboys are stupid, apparently. Or so thinks Hasbro, I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be buying a Mara Jade action figure, wouldn't you already kind of know who she is or have some knowledge of the EU?
You never know with collectors. Sometimes they just buy things to buy things.
That's true.
Not that I'm an expert.
Look at all the Celebration 6 exclusives and how many of them wound up on eBay 2 days later.
Oh, God. I remember the... Celebration 3 action figure exclusive that was, you mean, you couldn't even get inside the store, much less buy anything then. And they,
which one was 3 was my first one. Oh, with the giant line.
Yes, that was the first one I went to too. And I remember I just wanted the Vader figure, that's it. And and one of my friends actually got like 2 of them and let me buy one for list price. I offered to pay more, and they were like, no, we wouldn't do that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so yes.
You've got to be kidding me.
So yes.
Okay.
We're good. We're back. Hi. Hi.
You putting on this thing?
What's that?
Do I have a mute button?
You'd have to tell me.
Oh, this is fun.
Okay, I just muted and I talked. You didn't hear me saying anything?
Nope.
There's a mute button. Awesome. Okay. I know. Sorry, and, I'm new to this.
And new listeners, as you discover, we tend to record in one take.
Yep.
So you're getting all of this.
You are. So yeah, yay, Mara Jade. Figure duplicate of one I already have.
Well, it's a better sculpt.
That's true.
The head is better. The last one looked kind of like
the one I have looks very mannish.
No, she looks like she looks like that chick on Food Network, Gaeta, whatever.
Oh, Giada De Laurentiis.
The Giada
with the huge head.
Yes, with the giant head.
Aww.
Well, it was a yeah. Hmm.
But okay. Still, would it kill someone to make an action figure that, I don't know, has Mara Jade in, like, Jedi robes or something?
Actually, I think one of my other figures, I think the Luke I have has a robe with it. I might just put that over Mara.
Or how about... Sorry,
talked
go ahead.
Celebration. Someone brought up Union, and they're like, yeah, we'd love to do another Mara figure, but... See, the thing is, I know they have a female body with the Jedi robes. So just swap the heads.
Yeah.
And paint the robes differently. And there you go. You don't even have to put, you know, use the same head for this one. Stick it on a different body.
They could do a set. Union set.
Maybe. A union set. Only if it's the robes, not that horrible pink thing.
Oh, no.
Actual wedding dress was horrible.
As my friend calls it, the David's bridal wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. I spent far too much time in a David's bridal last year, and yeah, that's exactly. They are so generic.
You know what I want? I want a collection of 4 action figures from that one panel that looks like it's Sex in the City with the female cast of Star Wars.
Yeah, Ella, Mirax, Leia, and Mara. And they're going shopping.
Oh, Union.
It's kind of cracky, isn't it?
Oh, I love Union.
It is nothing but schmaltz and like cheese, crazy. And it's brilliant because of it.
I want a Wookiee with a keg at my bachelorette party.
Who doesn't want a Wookiee with a keg?
Call up the Rebel Legion. I'm sure they can find one.
Ryan, get on that now.
I'm working on it. Oh, dear. You know what? Why don't we get an action figure of Mara based on that Darren Tan illustration from the Essential Reader's Companion?
Which? The Vong one?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that one.
My Vong one.
She's wearing normal clothes.
Still a little guilty of that stupid TNA pose that everyone everyone uses, but it's a good illustration apart from that.
Since I read that blog post, I've noticed them doing it all the time.
It's everywhere.
Oh. So yeah, tangent number one.
Well, there'll be many more of those today. Moving on, Lawrence Kasdan and Simon Kinberg talked episode 7 and the standalone films. I gotta pull up the blog post here so I can remember what they actually said.
I know Kasdan talked about, you know, wanting to get back to the whole grandeur of Star Wars, and I know Simon Kinberg talked about not wanting to know too much about, you know, the whoever would be in the standalone films, or he was talking about what characters they might use, and he was saying, you know, the tricky thing is you don't want to know too much about those characters, which, having read the EU, is I can say is very true.
Boy, are you telling me you didn't need a whole lot of backstory on Wilroe Hood, Ice Cream Man?
No.
Or MG88?
IG88.
Whatever.
What is wrong with you? Come on.
No one cares about IG88.
Hey! There are a lot of people who care about IG88. Yes. It's Valentine's Day. Be nice.
Just like there's a lot of people who care about Wilroe Hood.
Hey, there were a lot of people cosplaying as Wilroe Hood.
That was amazing. We just look up one random moment at Celebration 6 and there's this lineup of Wilroe Hoods.
I just got attacked by a dog.
Mara, behave. I mean, there was also a bit of talk that Kasdan was going to completely ignore the expanded universe, but I think that was more extrapolation based on the outlet that was conducting the interview at the time.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Lawrence Kasdan will probably write a pretty good Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's writing it out.
I still hope that it's not young Han Solo. I just have no desire for that, because if you're gonna work with a character and give them backstory, let's not do it to a big three character, because it's just gonna leave a lot of fans disappointed, no matter how good it is.
There's so much. I don't know. How can you replace Harrison Ford?
You can't.
It's one thing for like 10 minutes in, you know, The Last Crusade to have what's his face be young, you know, like a teenager.
Yeah.
But I just can't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see a whole movie on it.
No.
The only thing I would accept it, though, if he was doing the Han Solo dancing.
Yes,
that's a standoff. I'm on Solo, Solo.
Han Solo, Saturday Night Fever. I would pay good money to watch fanboys as they watch that.
Double blaster, my go-to move on the floor.
We
have to pull it up, but I'm not going to be that mean.
I want to buy that.
That is the only game, Star Wars game, that has made me want to get a gaming system. Literally, just because it's hilarious.
The fanboy outrage over that amused me to no end.
Yeah.
That was just going on Twitter and finding that, because that was, I think, the first week I was doing Twitter roundups, or like one of the first weeks.
And it was
so funny. Just the reaction to it. Oh, I loved it. I love fanboy rage sometimes.
Sometimes my inner troll gets the best of me, and I just sit back and watch the fandom burning around me.
It
can be fun. And in the Star Wars fandom, just wait till every other Thursday.
Yeah, there's always something that people just get all raged up about.
And if you're really searching for something, just bring up Imperial Commando.
Oh, don't even.
Or Clone Wars.
Oh, and just any random thread on the TFN boards, let's face it.
Yeah.
About something. Something you've never thought to rage about. Like, my favorite was, this was actually StarWars.com boards back in the day, like, around Attack of the Clones, seriously, years ago. But there was this huge fight in the, it was in the Expanded Universe Forum, but it was, or it was in the Expanded Universe Forum, but it was over the little bubbles on Star Destroyers. What the bubbles were for. It was this giant war over Star Destroyer bubbles. It is the most ridiculous thing I have seen.
It's either a sensor array or this bridge deflector shield, and either way, what does it matter?
Yeah.
How is that worth a flame war? Just of all the things to flame war over. I mean, and I'm speaking as someone who like fought in ship wars when she was 17, which are also ridiculous, by the way. But, and I admit that's stupid. I mean, ship wars are the female equivalent of Star Destroyer bubbles, but... Why?
That is the quote of the show right there. Quote of the show.
The title of the show needs to be Star Destroyer Bubbles.
Sorry, I need to go type that down right now.
Here, I'm renaming the show. That. There you go. Star Destroyer Bubbles. There we go.
Star Destroyer Bubbles. Fantastic.
Moving on. Harry Potter is 15 years old, which makes me feel old. And they're getting new paperback covers. And I really like the first one.
I really like it, too. What was the artist's name again? Sorry, I'm pulling it up.
I can't pronounce the name without butchering it. I apologize.
Me too.
Kabu Kibuishi?
Kazu Kibashu?
I just noticed I had it typed wrong in the blog post. Oops.
Good job, Brian.
See, this is why I always copy and paste, because I can't spell anything.
Yeah, I should have, but I got lazy and just decided to write it from memory.
But anyway, it's pretty. I like it.
It is. I can't wait to see the other ones.
I actually thought when I first saw it that it was the original artist, because he kind of mimics her style a little, but once you actually look at it, oh no.
Yeah, that it's first...
close enough.
Yeah, first blush. That's what I thought. I thought it was the original artist, but no, it's this new artist has done a fantastic job paying homage to the original work, but putting their own touch on it. It's a great looking cover, and I can't believe I'm probably going to shell out money for these books again.
Oh my God, are you really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't have the first couple. So I might, because I was living with my mother I was in college, and then I was living with my mother. So the first three or four books, I don't have copies of, because they're her copies.
I have all the hardbacks.
I have the hardbacks from it's either four or five on.
I really want to buy the ebooks, so I can, you know, actually read them on vacation sometime. Because those are books you can't carry around with you.
Oh, no.
Those are the sort of books that e-readers were made for.
Those and, yes, Song of Ice and Fire.
Yes.
or anything, or the two books Patrick Rothfuss has written. Okay. Man, I hope the third one is better than the second one.
I didn't even like the first one. I never read the second one.
I did like the first one, but I read it my first year of college, and my palate at that point wasn't what I'd call good.
Well, I notice this trend sometimes with a lot of fantasy of that nature. It just does not click with me. It's like the Wheel of Time, all those older ones that I never read. And I wonder if it's because I don't have the basis of reading Wheel of Time and Terry Goodkind and all those big 80s and 90s fantasy authors. Is that, because to me it just felt typical, or Ruthfuss or whatever his name is. It just, I did not see, it felt like I'm reading somebody's D&D game. or D&D character backstory. And I'm like, what is so great about this? Why is everyone raving about this?
The second one was a lot guiltier of that than the first one. In the second book, there was a whole subplot for about 80 pages where the main character goes off to learn the art of sexomancy with a fairy.
What?
Thank you.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what we all said.
I don't want to. Is that a thing? Sexomancy?
It's a loving nickname given to that plot by the guys at Penny Arcade.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm curious about the actual plot. You can tell me later.
Pretty much for that 80 pages, the main character was just doing the do with a fairy the entire time. That was it.
Oh, a fairy. I thought you were talking about, like, a fairy, like, the boat. I was really confused.
This is why I prefer writing. Moving on.
I'm really sorry, new listeners, if there are any.
Moving on.
So many fairy jokes.
Oh god, next time I go on a ferry, I'll never get stuck.
So finally in Deke's Dirt, and this is probably where we're going to spend the most time on this segment, Hollywood.com got a bunch of expanded universe authors together to talk about the sequel trilogy. Nancy, I know you read this one. Dunk, I bet you probably did too.
I might have skimmed it.
Okay, yeah. Did we all really need to know that Drew Karpyshyn wants Darth Bane to be in the sequel movie somehow? No.
Yeah, I kind of love how they all pimp their own stuff.
Well, I mean, what else are they going to do if you're who do you want in it?
I'm like, the first one was Drew I cannot say his name.
Karpyshyn.
And I'm like, of course, and I'm just thinking, God, how boring would those books be? Or would those movies be?
I will say Timothy Zahn, when they asked him, he did not pimp his books. So he pimped his friend's books, but still.
I mean, he doesn't need to pimp his book because everyone else has been pimping those books for him.
Like, are they going to make episode 7 Heir to the Empire? No.
Stop asking!
No, and thank God they won't. I love those books to death, but movies, they are not.
No, they are books. Not.
Books.
Heir to the Empire is brilliant in prose fiction. I don't think it would translate well to the screen.
Yeah, well, just look at the comic adaptions. I mean, they're fine for what they are, but they're not great comics either.
So much is lost in going away from prose fiction.
They're like the Reader's Digest version.
I'd take like a... animated miniseries version or something like that.
But only if it was the 80s. That would be a great 80s miniseries, you know, when they had like the Princess Daisy, whatever.
And what was the name of that? Oh, crap, with the priest.
Oh.
Oh my god, why can't the Thornbirds? The Thornbirds. I was going crazy.
The pervy priest too,
Richard Chamberlain.
That was the 80s were like the grand days of the miniseries.
Yeah. And then, well, Roots was 70s for that too.
Yeah, Roots started the trend, I think.
So Brian back to the Hollywood.com post. A bunch of authors came in and talked about what they'd like to see happen in the sequel trilogy, what expanded universe characters would like to see, and how they want to see Luke, Han, and Leia die. Am I the only one out there that does not want to see Luke, Han, and Leia go out in a blaze of glory on screen?
To be honest, I think you could do, and this is like the Dune fan of me talking, I think you do fantastic stuff with Luke. The other two I'm not so sure about, but I think you could do a really fantastic like Dune Messiah thing with Luke. And I'm here. I like the second and third Dune books, go figure. But nothing after that. Forget it.
Yeah, Luke is
Didn't Kevin J. Anderson show up after that to work on Dune?
We don't talk about those.
Yeah, Luke is the only one I could see.
And I don't even count past the fourth book because I could not even finish the fifth book that the actual guy wrote. So, but there's just some fantastic, like, it's kind of like the whole Tempest thing too, where you've got kind of this passing the torch. You know, I'm old, but there's a lot of possibility there. Let me just say. But yeah, Han and Leia, I think, should be allowed to live as long as they need to, because let's face it, they've earned it.
They get to grow old and play bridge in a retirement home.
Yeah, and, you know, play with their grandkids and all that stuff.
Maybe in the film universe, they're better parents than they are in the expanded universe.
That's
admittedly a low bar to clear.
But, you know, there's a lot of things that the sequel trilogy could do great favors to you with, and I have a post brewing on this that is right now like a list, but Han and Leia's crappy parenting, which is also, you know, the fault of crappy writing, let's face it,
yes,
is definitely one of the big ones. You know, fix and Jason and Jaina, make them not fail and boring,
and Luke and Mara getting boring.
I think Aaron Alston in this interview may have had the best answer to what expanded universe characters he'd like to see get the spotlight. And he said, "What I really hope to see most is any sort of appearance by recognizable EU characters, which would be an acknowledgement that the EU is a significant part of what constitutes Star Wars."
Yeah.
Although what would be funny is they'll give us like a Dash Rendar
cameo. Oh!
Make the other Brian super happy.
This fandom does not need more Han Solo light. No zero calorie Han Solo.
Well, you know what? They can have Seth Green play him.
Okay, now I'm sold.
It would be perfect.
Yes. I'm in for that.
I'm really enjoying evil when it comes to the sequel trilogy, and that's not going to serve me well in the coming years.
I just want to keep my expectations kind of low and go in the theater and be blown away.
I think the prequels have taught us to keep our expectations low. you know, I don't hate them, but they are not good. So
they are fun but flawed films. Fun but flawed, yeah. I also love Alston's answer to how he wants to see Luke, Han, or Leia die. I'm all for having Luke, Leia, and Han be in a scene showing them knocking back shots of Corellian brandy while playing cards. Then the screen can go through a 1940s style wipe and the camera can zoom in on their descendants saving the galaxy for a new generation.
Yeah. I thought it was funny how a lot of their answers about how they'd want them to go out involved alcohol.
After all they've gone through, I think they need some.
Agreed.
So yeah,
you know, they don't drink. That's another problem with the Eastern universe. No one drinks enough.
How many people in that universe should have serious alcohol problems after what they've gone through?
Yeah,
I mean, I expect some Battlestar Galactica drinking issues.
Yeah, you need like a tea to be the drunk.
How come there's never been a Has there ever been an alcoholic character? That would be interesting.
I don't think there has been.
I can't think of one.
If they did that seriously, it gets really preachy.
It does get really preachy.
Yeah.
They have a genius already built in, so.
They were bad enough with Corrin's ego.
So. Oh, God. Let's make Corrin the drunk.
No.
We already know you screwed Nodder. Why not get drunk, too?
Mirax would be the drunk one for having to put up with him.
He could be the Tony Stark.
Oh, God. No, Wes Jansen would be the Tony Stark.
Oh, true.
Oh, my.
All right.
But yes, do go check out that interview on Hollywood.com. There's some great insight there from a bunch of authors. And they've also got a link to the interview they did with Timothy Zahn, essentially asking the same questions that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't miss that stuff. It's pretty good.
Oh yeah,
and you can read those articles, so you don't have to go to their Facebook pages and ask them the same questions over.
Okay,
over
one
and
of these
over.
Days, I am going to make a list. I'm going to make a list of questions people need to stop asking at conventions and on Facebook pages, and include a link to the answer.
Or question.
You know, the people who need to read that will never read that.
I know.
Only don't read. Who don't read? What? Who only read like two websites?
But if so much as one person goes to Dragon Con and doesn't ask what does Zahn think about Mara dying, I will be happy. Just one person.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to pile up a list. Things not to ask on their Facebook pages. Things not to ask at conventions. Just things not to ask in general.
Partly because we're tired of hearing those questions. Partly because we don't want your secondhand embarrassment. And with that, we're going to go ahead and move into Cammy's Concerns, our discussion topic of the week. And if you thought we were ranty before, brace yourselves. We're going to be talking genre fiction and how that might relate to the Star Wars Expanded Universe. But we're going to start with something in the Marvel Universe. Marvel is releasing Chick Lit.
Yay!
They are releasing Chick Lit. wow, I still can't quite fathom what they're trying to do here, but the first two novels are The She-Hulk Diaries and Rogue Touch.
Oh, those titles are... secondhand embarrassment's quick from those titles alone.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke when I saw the covers on Tumblr, though.
That's like an April Fool's joke. Because that is the total kind of thing that some of us would do as an April Fool's joke.
Are you still getting comments on that one?
No. Well, actually, that predates it. I think the comments might be closed on that one.
Okay.
Let's go look.
A little bit of background. April Fool's a couple of years ago. Dunk put up...
2009.
what did you title that one?
This book will blow your mind. I have a story about this post and how horrified I was afterwards.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Basically, I did a post and I did a fake book cover. And we did this for a couple years. We had a run of fake books. And they were usually like, you know, Star Wars Gossip Girl. They were totally ridiculous. Well, this one was a Laurel K. Hamilton novel featuring Mara Jade. Now, for those of you who don't know who Laurel K. Hamilton is, she started out writing, like, Buffy-like urban fantasy with, you know, vampires and werewolves and blah, blah, blah. But eventually they became basically, her protagonist basically started screwing everyone, and they basically became bad excuses for bad sex. So I thought, hey, this is hilarious. No one will believe this, right? Some people did. And some people did believe it. And you get some of that with every April Fool's, because some people are just gullible and, you know, they don't think it through or whatever. But the amount of people who actually thought this was a good idea, even after thinking it was fake, horrified me. I came from, like, a totally different, you know, to me, Laurel K. Hamilton is a joke. Nobody takes her seriously. But she's a bestseller. There are people who take her seriously. So, yeah, and someone even asked her on, like, MySpace if she was writing this book, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I only saw this, like, months afterwards. Someone wrote an entry. Oh, I asked her if it was real, and she said no, and I was like, holy shit. Because Laurel K. Hamilton is kind of crazy. She's, like, Anne Rice crazy.
Oh, gosh.
I'm like, shit. I don't want to deal with her. Yeah, from now on, fake names only. No matter how funny it may be.
Yeah.
Oh. That's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Marvel is actually going down the Chick Lit path.
Yeah.
And while my first thought when I saw this was actually a thing was, oh, this is weird. And I asked Nancy, is this kind of condescending towards the multitude of female Marvel fans already in the fandom?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's Chick Lit, like, Bridget Jones Chick Lit, it looks like.
Yeah.
And Bridget Jones is, what, 10 years ago? 15 years ago?
So they're about 15 years late to that train.
Yeah. The whole Chick Lit thing is, I mean, they're still Chick Lit, but they don't call it... It doesn't look like this. This is, to me, is pure Bridget Jones. And it seems a little out of touch with the trends now. But I don't know. I'm not a teenage girl, so what do I know?
Well, go ahead.
I like Chit Lit. I have several books. It's not like something I read all the time, but I have, like, you know, some books that I like. There's the Shopaholic books that are kind of fun and just really quick reads, and I'll, you know, read them if I want to read something, just not really have to think about it and laugh. And there's another book I really like that actually I wasn't expecting to like as much, but really connected with me. But other than that, like, I read them, like, I don't read them for the same reasons that I'll read, like, a sci-fi book. Like, I read a sci-fi book when I'm, like, want to be blown away, and Chick Lit I read, you know, just for, you know, pure fun entertainment.
Yeah, there's something wrong with Chick Lit. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
Any of us are, especially not Nancy. I mean, I read it too. But it just seems like it's like they went for the most obvious thing.
Yeah.
Well, the second most obvious thing, because the most obvious thing, let's face it, would have been, you know, Chains and Whips and 50 Shades of Grey. Go ahead.
I was saying, I think if they were just writing, like, books about these characters, if they were writing, like, quote-unquote women's fiction and not having it be, like, who are they going to date and blah, 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 it could have been interesting. But, like, it feels so pandering. Like, look, we care about women readers and look at us, you know. I'm like, no.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's a happy middle here.
And the crazy thing is they've already hit the happy middle. I mean, yeah. Like Kelly Sue DeConnick's Captain Marvel. But Marvel has already hit that point with some of Kelly Sue DeConnick's stuff in, like, Captain Marvel, where female fans had been saying, you know what, just give us some well-developed female characters that fit in this universe. And that's what they should be gunning for more, not reaching for the low-hanging fruit and writing Chick Lit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to how many... I lost my thought.
Well, I was thinking of, like, okay, as an example from Star Wars, there's Starfighters of Adamar, which is an X-Wing book, and you wouldn't think, oh, like, that's romantic, but it is. It has romance in it, and they did the Wedge and Ayala picture today on us, Voodoo, which was really cute and nice. But, like, it's a action story with X-Wing pilots, and in the middle of it there's this romance story, and it fits in with the plot. It doesn't feel jarring, and it doesn't feel like, oh, we're gonna put this in to appeal to women. It's just part of the story. It's just part of what is story that you were waiting to see the end to for however long.
Yeah, you put the women in and the women will come.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, it's Field of Dreams, guys. You know this movie. Every man knows this movie. But you just, I mean, look at Star Wars itself. Heir to the Empire, you have Mara. These are, you have characters who exist as something other than just love interests.
Yeah.
And you make them fit in the universe, and you develop them, you know, you don't give them one note, oh, I'm a damsel in distress. You know, you just give us well-rounded female characters.
Yeah,
you know, it's that simple.
And I think,
you know, because if we're looking for Chick Lit, we're not coming to She-Hulk.
No.
Nobody reads, She-Hulk, you want to see She-Hulk doing her She-Hulk thing. I'm not an expert on She-Hulk, I'm sorry. Rogue, if I read Rogue, I kind of want a little, I used to be an X-Men fan for like 2 seconds. But if I want to read Rogue, you know, her powers are so, you know, have this barrier, and I kind of want to see some interior thing. I don't want to see her... Oh, and some boy. You know, there's more to it than that.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that is interesting because, I mean, she really can't get close to people. So, but doing it as just kind of like a, you know, Chick Lit book seems to kind of not be giving it the, you know, the attention it deserves or whatever.
Yeah.
And, yes, I... It's just annoying.
and it seems to be a running another case of content producers missing the mark on what people are asking for when they say they want more strong. And I have grown to hate this term. Mm-hmm. Strong female characters.
Yeah.
So instead of actually, what people are talking about then is not. They're looking for well-rounded female characters that serve a function, characters that have purpose, that have motivations, that have strengths, that have flaws, not gunning for the low-hanging fruit and putting a female character, a one-dimensional female character, and giving them a bunch of page time. That's not what anyone's going for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Like Jung said before, Mara was included in Heir to the Empire not to be Luke Skywalker's love interest, and I think that was the most important thing.
And if you read those books, I mean, even knowing what you do now, there is no romantic things between them whatsoever.
No,
they're saying to someone who shipped them since like the early 90s. There is nothing in there unless, you know, you read into it.
Yeah, I started wanting them to get together at the end of Dark Force Rising. And I think that's probably what most people did because, you know, but that was the first time there was anything sort of more, you know, there could be a possibility of more there because, you know, Luke goes and rescues her or whatever. But, you know, I've heard Timothy Zahn say, you know, he didn't think they could get together in those books. And contrary to a lot of Luke and Mara fans out there, I agree with him because it would have been wrong to happen in that book. Also, I think it would have been, you know, detrimental to Mara's character because the reason people liked her so much is because she was her own character. And even if they had gotten together, I think Zahn would have written her where she would still be her own character. Like, you know, in the X-Wing books, there's Mirax, who is awesome, and she and Corran get together pretty soon, but she's not, I don't think, she might have been created to be Cornhorn's love interest, but she wasn't written that way.
Yeah, she wasn't served up on a platter.
Yes.
The character who I think is most obviously that is Callista, poor Callista.
Mm-hmm. Oh, poor Callista.
It was super, you know, you knew the minute she showed up, she was going to be the love interest of the book, and she was probably going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were right on the first count, and it took about 20 years for the second to bear out.
Yeah, right. That's my main problem. If she had died at the end of Children of the Jedi, no one would hate Callista. I mean, some people would, because they're crazy. But there wouldn't have been that huge backlash. It would have just been, one of Luke's stupid doomed romances, of which he had many. Right, Nancy?
Yep, I've written that article. And that fanfic.
But yeah, she was just, you know, there's certain characters that are just too perfect. You know, too obviously written to be love interests. And I think poor Callista is one of them. But, you know, I just recently read Rogue Squadron, you know, sue me, I suck. And I noticed,
the series,
you know,
only
I knew I already
from
knew
there.
About Rogue Squadron, but I was surprised that she came in and she wasn't, you know, he was going to have to work to get her.
Yeah.
It was obvious from the beginning. And it's like, okay, you know, I can see how they would, you know, how this begins. So.
Yeah. But yeah, they, you know, if you just, you can fit in the romance, you know, anywhere and make it work. I mean, today, again, on Twitter, I mentioned Mage Worlds because that's what I do. And I said, you know, hey, it's Valentine's Day. You should go read Mage Worlds because it has one of my favorite couples ever, Becca and Jessen, because they're awesome and they don't sit around talking about how much they love each other. They're off kicking ass. And, you know, then they say, she says something to the effect of, you know, only Jessen can calm people down while he's pointing a blaster at them.
Well, Jessen's just a great character. Yeah. He's kind of got a little Lando thing going on.
Oh, I love him. But yeah, I mean, those, but that's why they were, because they're two great characters on their own right. And that's why people liked Luke and Mara so much, is because they were two really good characters. And I mean, hello, Han and Leia. Would people really like Han and Leia as much as they do if Leia wasn't Leia?
No.
If Leia was just, you know, random.
If love Leia was Callista.
Oh, Han would eat her alive.
So to bring this back a little bit, how out of place would a Mara Chicklet book be in the expanded universe?
Mara is not a chicklet kind of woman.
I think Mara would kill everyone who tried to read it.
And that's why these Marvel books don't work, because none of those characters are chicklet characters.
Yeah.
Are there any chicklet characters? Like, I think it would be kind of hilarious to do, like, a parody one with, like, the White Queen. Like, killing people. Like, she's going shopping, and suddenly she's just like, burr! You know?
Well, like, see, the problem I have with it, and kind of the problem I have with the standalone films too, although, you know, I might change my mind once I see them, is that it just seems like, for the standalone films, it seems like that's what the EU is for. And with stuff like, you know, genre books in Star Wars, to me, that seems like that's what fan fiction is for. You know, I mean, I've written fan fiction where Mara and Mirax are out, you know, having fun and whatever. And while I would like them to do a book about Mara and Mirax, you know, getting arrested, because I'm still mad at them for dangling that in front of us and not giving us a story, I would not expect it to be anywhere near what I wrote, which was like kind of, you know, happy, fun girl time.
Well, you know, fan fiction is interesting. I was really surprised. A couple years ago, the Smart Bitches website, it's a romance Bitches website, they came out with a book, and my mother's a big romance reader. She bought the book, and she loaned it to me, because sometimes I read their websites. They're hilarious. And I read this book, and I was shocked at how many of the romance tropes I recognize. And I don't read romance novels. You know where I got those? Fan fiction.
Yes.
I was in, you know, there's nothing wrong with writing romantic fan fiction. I just admitted I read it. I'm kind of ashamed of it. I admit it. But I sometimes read it. Because, you know, we all need a little trash in our lives.
We do.
But there's a time and a place. And to me, the books are... That's not what I'm reading the EU books for. Yeah. I don't want the Star Wars romance novel. I don't mind a little romance on the side. You know, that's fine. I mean, that's it's in the DNA of the franchise. But I don't want the romance front and center. I want a steak. I don't want the broccoli. The broccoli can go off to the side. That's the romance. It's okay. But I don't want a whole lot of it.
Well, we read the expanded universe to get more of that space opera that we got in the movies. And romance is a part of space opera, yes. But it's not the key ingredient of space opera.
Yeah. Like, the end goal of Star Wars was to destroy the Empire, not to get the girl, you know. That's why Han and Leia were on Endor putting their lives at stake, and why Luke went off to confront the Emperor, you know, not, you know, Han wasn't worried about, oh, am I going to get Leia? Or, oh, Leia wasn't, you know, off dilly-dallying around going, oh, Han, does he love me?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the characters weren't sitting around talking about each other's relationships.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite fanfic trope. Three chapters of Han and Leia talking about Luke's love life. Nobody wants that.
I've probably done that.
Sorry.
No, I'm trying. I'm just going through and trying to count. No, I had Leia and Mara talking about it.
Yeah, well, but you didn't go on for three chapters.
Yeah.
But then who discusses, like, their relationship? Yeah, I don't know. It's this weird incestuous vibe. You're like, does Leia really need to know that much about Luke's love life?
although one of my favorite fics ever, and I can never read enough of it, is Leia finding out that Luke and Mara are a thing. Because it didn't happen in the book, and I can't ever get enough of her finding that out and going, what?
Well, that's one of those great missing scenes things that works so great in fan fiction, but would be terrible in a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm, like, again, I, everyone always talks about, oh, they want more romance in the EU and how Vision of the Future wasn't romantic enough and they, you know, didn't really kiss or say I love you. And I'm like, dude, Vision of the Future is awesome. You just got to get all the subtleties. And, you know, the longing glances and, you know, that when they're what they're not saying, I'm like, but then again, I've read that book, the Luke and Mara parts of that book like 50 times.
Well, you know, there's no boot knocking, so therefore it's not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if you want people. Boot knocking, this ain't the fandom for you.
Yeah, this is not your fandom.
Well,
read Laurel K. Hamilton.
There we go.
That's your fandom.
There you go.
And I guess fanfic. Sure, why not?
I was going to say, I can point
Everyone
you to some.
Gets it on in fanfiction.
I can point it you to some of it. But
even 3PO gets it on in fanfiction.
Oh, God.
And you know, if you do want more romance in Star Wars, it's there if you're reading the right stuff.
Yeah. It is. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with romance novels, but, like, you know, if I'm going to go read a romance novel, I'm going to read a romance novel. It's the same thing with, like, when I want to read science fiction, I go read Star Wars, you know? That's because it's what it is, you know? And that's why there are genres in fiction. And I don't think there's anything wrong with mixing genres, but, you know, I mean, it's my favorite, two favorite genres are science fiction and chick lit. So obviously I have diverse interests. And I like, you know, romantic subplots and, you know, having female characters who are still female, but, you know, I'm still in it for the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, and
you know, I don't mind if it's weighted a little. Like, there are some books, there are some books that I've read that have more of the romance, and I don't mind them, but I need, you know, I need that back. I need the world building or whatever, the space opera. I need something else to support it.
Yeah. Like,
I think the first, actually, maybe the first thing I can't pronounce. The first of the Bejeweled Vorkosagen books.
Oh, yeah. The one
that is basically kind of a romance, but there's so much more going on than just the romance.
Well, that's why it annoys me when people say that Hunger Games is just a love triangle, because did you read the books? No, it's not. There's so much more.
They have this huge plot thing going on.
Yeah.
It's not Twilight, where there's four books of pining.
Yeah, I mean,
thank goodness for that, too.
For real. Yeah, I mean, like, I think I mentioned another podcast ago that I really liked. I thought Survivor's Quest had a good balance in romance and, you know, rest of the plot. And I know people have said there's not enough romance in there, and I'm like, but the point of it is to show how well Luke and Mara work together, and that's how they're going to act. They're not going to be all like, oh, I love you.
And too, I think you can kind of blame fanfic for a lot of that. People annoyed that there wasn't enough, because there was a lot of fanfic going on between the Dark Force Rising and particularly the Corellian trilogy. I think around the Corellian trilogy, it's kind of the golden age of, like, Luke Mara fanfic.
Oh, I missed it.
I'm not biased at all. but, you know, people were expecting so much more. There was a rumor, I remember, there's one very popular fanfic at the time, and there was a rumor that Tim Zahn wrote it. Now, if you had read this fic, you would know Tim Zahn had not written it. There is no way. But I thought it was hilarious, because I'm like, come on. Really?
I'm reminded of the quote from Aaron Alston at this past Dragon Con. Someone asked him about the digital shorts, and he said he was really excited about them because it would give authors, you know, the possibility to write about things they don't normally get to write about, and saying how, you know, he's like, you know, I'm jealous of the fan fiction writers because you get to write stories about Luke and Mara going shopping. And I said, I think I wrote that. But, like,
I would read, you know, I think Alston should write the story about Luke and Mara going shopping.
It would be hilarious.
See, Aaron Alston, I could picture writing the fic that I'm thinking of. Well, he didn't, but I could imagine it.
Yeah. But, like, that's a, you know, I get his point in that, you know, I'm excited about the digital shorts because they're obviously shorter and they'll get to focus on things that aren't going to keep your attention for a whole novel. And maybe you can get, you know, more fan fiction-y stuff, like, you know, romance plots or more like that. You know, I would love to have someone go detail how Tycho and Winner actually got together, because, you know, that's the longest running relationship in the EU, that before it finally they got together.
You know, you know what happened?
KJA.
Dash Rendar set them up.
Are you just trying to give Brian Young Twitter material right now?
No, Akbar stepped back and was like, I'll stop getting in the middle of their relationship.
Oh my God, don't get me started on Akbar, please. Please don't. That was the most what the hell thing of that whole era.
Whackbar.
He's a fish, people. A fish.
We're not xenophobes here, honest.
Well, I mean,
he's not real. He's a fake fish.
There was a Siren Gavin.
There was, yes. That was actually a very well done relationship.
Yeah, before we actually knew what Bothans looked like.
playing off that, if you are looking for romance in Star Wars, shockingly the best place you're going to find it
is
Stackpole and Alston's X-Wing series.
Yes. That was actually, I mean, I didn't count it against Mercy Kill, but that was one of the things I was surprised about, is that there wasn't any sort of relationship, budding relationship in Mercy Kill.
I think if he had had more than one book to work with, he would have done a slow relationship on the back burner.
I'm saving it for the sequel.
That's right.
True.
That's why you have to write to Del Rey and tell him you want a sequel.
Yeah.
So that Aaron can get his romance on.
Because, I mean, you know Mary's going to bring home a boy to daddy and Wedge is going to flip out.
Can you imagine what Wedge does anytime his daughters start dating? I mean, imagine the resources at his disposal.
Can you imagine the poor boy that his daughters are dating?
Oh. He's going to go through a New Republic intelligence background check.
Well, I mean, he's got Yella there. And he's got the other rogues to work their magic. He's got a best friend who's a Jedi Grandmaster.
That poor boy.
Luke doesn't have any girls, so he could, you know, he would help out.
Not yet.
Oh, that's true. See, that's one thing I would love if they, you know, I would agree to them demolishing the EU if we got a Skywalker girl.
Yeah.
Oh, Martin, blow it all up for a Skywalker girl. Blow it all up.
Blow it all up. Take it down.
And then mention Mara. Just mention her. I'll be happy.
Yeah, either she shows up or, you know, in the background somewhere. Or...
Can you imagine the reaction to that if it actually happens in episode 7? The freak out from both sides of the stupid argument.
Flame war.
Yeah.
Next generation.
I'm going to wear my Mara shirt to the episode 7 midnight premiere. So I need to keep it until then. It can't fall apart.
So
it's a special occasions only shirt.
Yes.
It only comes out for cons until the movie comes out.
So I guess to boil this down, none of us can picture Mara in Bridget Jones's Diary, can we?
No, I kind of really...
I can picture her as like the snarky best friend. Like it was your ex's diary.
I really want to see someone write that. Wait, I kind of did that. Never mind.
There wasn't enough shopping in yours, Nancy. Needs to be more shopping, more drinking, more hooking up with boys that you don't mean to, you know.
There was a lot of drinking, but it's because it was Mara and Mirax.
Of course.
The popular fan canon is that those two can drink anyone under the table, right?
Duh. Throw in Mary and Ravenwood and you've got a...
My goodness.
Oh, now there's someone who could fit in.
There is a bad crossover fic waiting to happen.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. Chiclet in Star Wars, don't think it would work very well. Romance is great in the expanded universe and in Star Wars when it's a side dish, but not the main dish, because when you do that, you lose the space opera and the grandeur and the adventure that makes Star Wars what it is.
Yeah, and there was a quote from that article about the Marvel Chiclet books, and it said, "If this is what it means to be owned by Disney, we can only hope that Sex and the Coruscant will be released in time for J.J. Abrams' first Star Wars movie." And I was like, Sex and the Coruscant? Really? That's what you came up with?
Of all the crappy crossover titles you could have come up with, that was it?
Yeah. Really.
You know, I love that we're talking so negatively about Star Wars romance novels today of all days. Happy Valentine's Day!
Happy Valentine's Day! Wow. Yeah, well, because, you know, it's easy today because everything's been so romancy and you're just like, ugh, shut up. You know, I haven't gone on Facebook all day because I'm like, I don't need to hate these people.
You're not friends with either of us, are you?
Guilty.
Sorry. Sorry.
Oops.
But while romance doesn't work as genre fiction in Star Wars, I think there are some other genres that actually do.
Yeah, anything kind of thriller-like, like espionage or heist or anything, spy novels kind of like, which is, I think, what Shadow Games was going for, but it didn't work for me at all.
Until it fell flat on its face.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Scoundrels is essentially a heist caper.
Mm-hmm.
And Dunk, I know you had problems with the last two pages.
Yeah, see, I can't even discuss it because I'm going to spoil it for people.
Oh no, we've already had our roundtable.
Oh, okay, we're going to talk about spoilers.
Spoilers,
so
spoilers.
Someone please
skip
leave
ahead.
If you don't want to
skip ahead three
scoundrels.
Or 4 minutes. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Okay.
Spoilers.
Okay. So, I know you had a problem with Boba Fett showing up.
Oh, my God. Well, it's just, I hate Boba Fett. And anytime he shows up, I'm like, oh, yeah. Boba Fett.
See, I'm the same way, but it worked for me because of all the people I could think of setting up Han, I was like, well, obviously, who else are you going to get?
I am tired of the overuse of Boba Fett, but I concede that this was a pretty creative use of him. And I liked it because it actually showed why he was a respected bounty hunter.
Yes.
And not just forcing him into being the super powerful, can take on a thousand Jedi character.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Hilariously, Tim Zahn writes Boba Fett better than the authors that like Boba Fett.
And I also liked it because it seemed like a little, you know, middle finger to all the people who were like, who's the mysterious benefactor going to be, Thrawn card? Or we're just, you know, waiting for Zahn to use his pet characters. And instead, he pulls out Boba freaking Fett. And I was like, take that, all you people who say Zahn can't write continuity.
See, that's why I'm okay with Boba Fett used in this way, because it was kind of a middle finger to all of the people saying that Thrawn was going to go to his back pocket and get Thrawn again.
Yeah, so.
But Scoundrels does work as far as genre goes in Star Wars, because it still maintains the adventure and the grandeur and the spacey feel of Star Wars. And that's the same reason Mercy Kill works, which is essentially an espionage thriller.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I don't know, like, with a chick-lit novel, I don't know how that could maintain the science fiction feel, you know.
And the thing is, high romance is part of the field. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
It's kind of what they were trying to do with Anakin and Padme.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, as badly as, you know, I didn't, that romance worked out, like, it really was only, like, the focus in the second movie. Mm-hmm. And even then, there was other stuff going on, like, Obi-Wan had his whole thing.
Well, the problem with it in the EU is that it has to be, that kind of romance has to be huge.
Yeah.
And you can't always do that in the EU. And we've obviously had quieter, you know, I think the whole Luke and Mara thing was a very quiet romance, which is fine for it being in a book. But you know, you have to, these epic type romances, it's really hard to do that in the EU unless you're dealing with, like, I don't know, a closed room situation, a bottle episode.
Tell your disappointment to shove it. I'm doing a bottle episode.
Exactly.
Community, so, like, on tonight at 8 o'clock. Go catch it.
It was just Hapes. I think you could do it, like, with Alana. It was just the fate of Hapes. It wasn't the fate of the galaxy, but it was still, you know, an important... I mean, that's, what, 100 worlds? That's still a good chunk. You could probably do it with her. The others...
Yeah, so... Yeah. Romance, it could work if you're extraordinarily careful, but chick-lit romance, that it's just not going to fly.
No.
It's grounded to begin with.
I can see the temptation looking at, you know, all the fanfic that has gotten so popular, you know, and trying to cash in on that, but it's just pandering.
But then you see the example of it being done horribly wrong with Jaina Solo.
Oh, God.
She's the example.
Cardboard.
She's,
I'm sorry, I have no use for either of them in the romances.
I mean, if they had, you know, their relationship had come to the logical conclusion at the end of the New Jedi Order series, I think it could have worked really well. But then it was like, oh no, they're not together. Jaina was with this other dude. Oh no, wait. She has to choose between. Oh wait, no. And I'm like, just let the girl be a freaking Jedi or a pilot or whatever. Man, poor girl.
Yeah. You know, I remember thinking, oh, they were dragging us out back in the 90s. No, the poor Jaina fans.
Yeah, this was tired and during New Jedi Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jag was
in college when those books were coming out, okay?
Me too.
A decade ago.
Yep. The book when Jag was introduced came out in like 2000, and they didn't get married until last year. Apocalypse. So 12 years.
Comment in the chat. Everything was tired during NGO. That is very, the entire NGO was just 19 books of tedium.
Yeah.
Yeah, NJO had its good moments. I will always love the Enemy Lines duology, but oh man, it dragged. I guess one last little bit of genre fiction we've seen in Star Wars was Death Troopers, which was the, what do you want to call it, the zombie movie?
Yeah, the zombies.
That one didn't quite work as well.
Yeah. It was okay, but
it still felt out of place. I can't put my finger on exactly why, but that might have been too much of a nod towards genre fiction, where the illusion was shattered a bit.
Yeah.
So I guess
I like genres, but none of them appeal to me whatsoever. I mean, granted, I did read Scoundrels, and I'll probably eventually read Mercy Kill because I'm still catching up on the X-Wings, but it's just so few of them. It's like, I don't care about zombies enough to read a Star Wars zombie novel.
Yeah, I don't care about zombies outside of the Star Wars universe, so I'm not exactly inclined to pick up a Star Wars zombie novel.
Yeah. Or even the... You know, what was the series, the Coruscant Knights with the great, they had the great covers, the noir looking covers, but
why
I
did
got
those book get those covers?
Those are fantastic covers.
Mm-hmm.
But I got one chapter and I was snoozing. I was like, I'm not. I mean, if it had been like a Lando, I might have been able to read them.
Yeah.
You know, but
Lando is so underused.
Oh, Lando, there's so many great things you could do with Lando. And he's got that trilogy from the 70s, but that is a weird trilogy.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, raves about the Han, you know, the daily books, but the Han one is just... Yeah, do a noir trilogy with Lando.
I would read that.
That would be awesome. It'd
be amazing.
Maybe Lando can get a solo film.
That makes me mad.
Don't say
like,
that. They'll start... everyone will start fan casting Donald Glover as Lando.
It makes me mad that Lando got his wife in when he went bride shopping with Luke instead of like
that was kind of
you know, he could have had a really cool book by himself or a trilogy and, you know, met a lady that way.
And who takes Luke with them?
I know. You here. Well, no, it's because next to Luke and all of his horrible failed relationships, Lando looks pretty damn good.
Lando should have had like a femme fatale kind of girl. Yeah,
I won't
kill
like Lando could have taken Mara with him. God, that would have been hilarious.
That's the novel Zahn should have written. Lando and Mara.
Oh, I would have loved that.
That'd be 380 pages of Lando and Mara arguing with each other, and it would be amazing.
Shut up, Lando! See, like, I... Like, them being a couple just makes me go, ugh, no. But them, like, being partners is, like, awesome to me.
Yeah, I would have liked to read that book.
Yeah. Come back and write it, Zahn. write with, and then write the other one.
So. Even a short story with Lando and Mara would be good.
Yes. And then write the other one with all of them before New Jedi Order. That would be great.
Well, didn't he say he pitched it? He said he pitched our Scoundrels book.
Ugh.
They didn't go for it, so he kind of twisted it around and edited it.
Yeah.
Well, at least.
Because they said they wanted something.
I don't know. I've lost track.
They said they wanted something that could be, you know, just jumped right into.
Yeah, which I can't blame them for that.
Whatever.
Well,
until Scoundrels was good enough. It was a good book.
Yeah.
At the very least, it is a great entry point for fans who do not have the 20 years of expanded universe knowledge that the three of us have.
You guys who quitted the Jedi Academy novels, jump right in at Scoundrels. It's fine.
Oh, you don't need to know Jack.
Scoundrels, Mercy Kill, Mindor.
Lots. I don't know if you jump in at Mercy Kill.
You can kind of. You probably won't get as much out of it, but
I think it's still an enjoyable book if you don't have that backstory. But it is much richer if you know what's been going on of late.
Yeah.
So, to summarize this long, rambling, and often off-the-rails discussion topic today, do we really want to see a Star Wars romance novel?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope. Star Wars chick lit novel?
No.
There are certain genres that could work. Like, I know I've said this before, but I kind of want some kind of comedy and manners thing with Alana on Hapes.
Okay, I'd be all for that.
Because Hapes really is... The entire world is these horrible, horrible, stupid lady stereotypes. And I want someone to take those and make them awesome.
Yes. Give us...
And there's so much potential. And then you could do, you know, this... Granted, it wouldn't be, you know, Austin, but something inspired by that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you know that that court has got to be... fascinating.
Well, I mean, freaking Entebor was like the most messed up planet ever, and it was fascinating.
Yes. Entebor. Make it Entebor.
Seriously. Have Alana be like, fetch me a consort.
A Jean Sire.
Yes. Oh, my
God. Oh, my. I didn't know how much I wanted this book before now.
See?
It'd be amazing.
I want poor Alana and poor Ben to have what Jason and Jaina and Anakin didn't, which is actual development before, you know, she reaches 30.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, they're 30. We got to give them some character real quick or kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Let's give them character and then kill them off, because that'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only, like, you know, as boring as Fate of the Jedi got, I think they at least tried with both Ben and Alana, so yeah. I'll give them thumbs up for that. But, I mean, I don't understand why they don't do another, like, young reader series with Alana, because that would be, like, absolutely perfect.
Well, it would be hard to... I think it would be hard to jump into. Even Young Jedi Knights, I remember when that first came out, I was like, well, really? Really?
Or even not just a series, but maybe just, like, a book or two, you know, young reader books with Alana.
Yeah, or, they're all up in the Clone Wars, so let them have it. Let's
true.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And finally, is Marvel making a mistake?
We'll see when they start selling the books.
They might be fantastic books. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, just to look at them, I'm just like, oh, yeah. No.
See, if they're written really well, I mean, they might work, but the way they're being marketed is just coming off all wrong.
Well, look, girls, we have something for you, too.
And yeah. That attitude has kind of been off-putting for my female Marvel friends who are bigger Marvel fans than I could ever possibly be. They're a little tweaked by that message they're trying to send.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm not a comics person at all, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but I was like, She-Hulk? Is that a character?
Oh, yeah.
And see, I'm not
a comic person either.
Yeah. I mean, I knew who Rogue was, but I was like, obviously, but I was like, She-Hulk? Oh, okay.
Yeah, She-Hulk seems an odd choice to me because she's not, like, she's not a super, like, forefront character.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're really trying to capitalize, why not? I'm kind of surprised. I don't think they should, but why didn't they choose Black Widow?
Mm. Yeah.
Stay away from the movie stuff. I'm surprised they went Rogue, actually.
Yeah.
And, like, you can see DC doing this with Wonder Woman.
Oh, God.
The way DC has been behaving of late.
That are, like, crying or whatever. Crying about her life or something. I don't know.
Or talking about her relationship with Superman.
God. Ugh. Let's not get into that.
Nope. All right. There's Cammy's concerns for this week. One of the most rambling Cammy's concerns we have ever done.
We are cut off.
We are cut off. And let's go ahead and wrap up the show with a segment we like to call Ask Us Anything, where we solicit questions from Twitter, Facebook, the blog, and the chat, and we answer them on the show. We've got one this week from Rioran. What kind of cliche chiclet in the Marvel or Star Wars universe would you enjoy seeing exist? Is there anything?
Oh, jeez.
Well, I still want my Mara and Mirax novel. That can be like a Thelma and Louise type book.
See, but I don't really see that as chiclet.
Well,
chiclet in a very loose sense, I guess.
I could see it as like a Thelma and Louise type story, except they don't die at the end.
Yeah.
I think that would be hilarious and great. What else?
I think I already gave mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I'll even chime in here. Back when Holostar was initially announced and before it became yet another Dash Rendar novel, there was a lot of speculation that it might be a Winsa Starflare action thriller.
I would have loved that.
That would have been amazing.
Yes, I would have loved that.
But that's about as far as we can go with with that one, unfortunately.
Yep.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. You can find us on Twitter with the handle @Tashi_station. That is the official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. Dunk is @ClubJade. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. Do also be sure to go visit clubjade.net. We are available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, do leave us a review. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. That is the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next time.
Goodbye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.